Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
By building the new parking spots, the cars will get out of the community, won't circle around the community and disrupt it, and will go into parking lots.
It could be a little frustrating. Unfortunately, the Yankees, okay, they build their parking lot on the field that we used to practice on.
A few of the voices involved in an investigative report on taxpayer-subsidized parking garages near financial collapse at Yankee Stadium, which we will talk about in just a minute. Also today, playwright Tony Kushner. And on the media's Brooke Gladstone concludes her series on The Influencing Machine, her new graphic book. We will get to all this in just a minute. But folks, we are in the home stretch of our spring membership drive, 3 days left. And we humbly request that everyone who listens to us on a regular basis make a contribution for this year to help run the radio station. Make your tax-deductible donation for 2011 on the phone or on our website. Thanks for considering it. Visit our website at WNYC.org or call our pledge line 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692. And thank you. And we begin today with WNYC's Jim O'Grady, who has done an investigative report on publicly subsidized parking garages at the new Yankee Stadium on the verge of financial collapse, while the Yankees are years late in replacing youth baseball fields that the parking garages paved over. As a taxpayer, as a Yankee fan, and as a supporter and longtime coach of youth sports, I am especially happy that WNYC has dug out some of these details. And this is reporter Jim O'Grady's first appearance on the Brian Lehrer Show, and I'm glad it is for this investigative report. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Brian. We're working for you.
And everybody. And the kids of the Bronx, because your report begins not with the New York Yankees, but the baseball team from All Hallows High School, which is near the stadium. But because of the Yankees and the city policy, they haven't had a field in 3 years. Here are some of the players on a team bus.
I feel like a bunch of gypsies just traveling all over the place playing.
Like minorities.
People want to come see us, and then they can't see us. We don't have a home field. We don't know where we're at.
So that scene, they were on a bus traveling up to near Yonkers to play a, quote, home game?
Yeah, they haven't had a field for 5 years, a home field, ever since their field in Macomb-Stan Park, which was about 4 or 5 blocks from the high school on East 161st Street, was closed and paved for in preparation for a Yankee parking garage, which today is barely used. So yeah, I went up there, a scrappy bunch. I went up to Mount St. Michael High School, where they had a home game on their opponent's field near the Yonkers border, and I watched them, you know, duke it out for 10 innings and win that game with a walk-off homer. And instead of just walking a few blocks back to their high school, as they had done for decades, they had to get back, pack the bus, drive 45 minutes down the Major Jeegan Expressway just to get back to school.
And this is because of additional parking garage space that the Yankees requested and got for their new stadium?
Yeah, this is the thing. The Yankees, when they were contemplating their new stadium, they proposed a plan to the city. They said, even though this new stadium is going to be smaller than the old one, we need 2,000 more parking spots than we used to have. We need a total of 9,000 parking spots, which to people in the neighborhood didn't make sense, but the Yankees insisted. And they made it a condition for staying in the Bronx.
Even though the stadium holds a few thousand less seats than the old one did, they wanted more parking spots. And as it turns out, they're not being used as expected, which is sort of the heart of this story, right?
It is. They're in their third season at the new stadium. The first two seasons, there's a complex. There's a system of 11 garages and lots called the Yankee parking system. First two seasons, they were only 60% full on game days. The first season of the first month of this season, April, they were 31% full. It's just going downhill.
They charge $35 a car to park for a game. Is that more than at the old stadium?
Yes, it is. And I can explain how that came about. Last year, it was $25. And then the company that runs this system, Bronx Parking Development Company, was not able to make its first payment on their bonds, not able to make their second payment. Bondholders got more involved in the management. They told them to raise the price of a parking spot to $35. And that has made it even worse. Even fewer people are paying.
That's an interesting marketplace formula. If not enough people are using your product, raise the price.
Yeah.
And there are a few different pots of taxpayer money involved here, which is another central part of the story. Can you break down how much taxpayer money went into subsidizing the private parking lot business around Yankee Stadium?
Sure. To begin with, these garages, these new garages and upgrades to the lots were paid for with $237 million of triple-exempt tax-free bonds, federal, state, and city subsidized. That's more than something like $70 million right there in a subsidy. And then the Bronx Parking Development Company, their first obligation is to pay back these bonds. They can't meet those payments. Their second obligation is to pay rent to the city. So they are now $17 million in arrears to the city. That's money that's lost, as for now.
So here's a clip of Mayor Bloomberg on his WOR radio show reacting to that, saying private bondholders, rather than taxpayers, will be on the hook if the parking company goes bust.
The city has no downside. If they were to go bankrupt, it doesn't hurt us. It wouldn't be good for the project.
Mayor Bloomberg there, but you report the taxpayers have already been hurt.
Well, he's right. Private bondholders will take the hit for that. But it is, it's an embarrassment to the City Industrial Development Agency, which issued those bonds, if they go into default. There's the $17 million in back rent that's owed the city. The city has paid out $195 million to replace the parkland it gave to the Yankees to build these garages. And the state sunk $70 million into something called Parking Garage B, which is attached to the new stadium, and that is where Derek Jeter and the players and the Yankee employees and VIP ticket holders can drive in, park, not even walk through the streets of the neighborhood, but enter directly into Yankee Stadium.
And what about the ball fields for All Hallows High School and other kids? When were they supposed to be completed, and why are they so late?
Heritage Field is the replacement set of regulation baseball diamonds that is being made across East 161st Street, where the old Yankee Stadium used to be. They've just been sodded. That grass needs to knit. Maybe they'll be ready by fall. They're at least a year behind schedule. Other replacement parks have been springing up around the neighborhood. They're not contiguous. They're farther from where people used to use parks. Why are they behind schedule? Because government projects often get behind schedule. It took longer to take down the old Yankee Stadium than expected.
Does it have anything to do with the financial difficulties of the parking garages?
Well, the parking garages are contributing nothing to the city coffers. And they're, by all accounts, on the verge of default. Their next payment is due in November, and it'll be very interesting to see how they deal with what will probably be not enough money again to pay their make their payment to bondholders.
WNYC's Jim O'Grady with his investigative report on the near financial collapse of the heavily taxpayer-subsidized parking garages at Yankee Stadium, while replacement youth baseball fields that were promised go unbuilt. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we have some breaking news right now from Trenton. The New Jersey Supreme Court has just rebuked Governor Chris Christie and ordered the state to increase spending on poor schools by an estimated $500 million. This was a 3-2 ruling just now in a long-running court battle over funding for the state's poorest schools. The court has consistently ruled that the state needs to do more for a group of the poorest school districts, but Christie and his administration argued that the state cannot afford to pay any more right now because of the state's fiscal situation. Christie has warned that ordering the state to give more to schools could mean dire consequences for other government spending, such as aid to hospitals. But this ruling has just come down, and it is what advocates for the low-income students have been waiting for. The New Jersey Supreme Court has rebuked Governor Chris Christie and ordered the state to increase spending on poor schools by an estimated $500 million. And you know all the conflict that's taken place already between Governor Christie and various actors in public education in New Jersey. This will only enhance that. There's another factor here, which is that Christie was so sure of his position on this that previously when asked if he would comply with a court order to spend more money on the poor school districts, if such an order came down, he basically said, we'll see. So we are awaiting reaction from Governor Christie. We will bring that to you when we get it. But the news right now from the New Jersey Supreme Court, they have rebuked Governor Christie and ordered the state to increase spending on poor schools by an estimated $500 million. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk later about this with WNYC's Bob Henley. Up next, playwright Tony Kushner. Stay with us.